Do you ever tire of this? Do we ever come to this table in a haphazard way? I hope not. And yet, anytime we gather around the Lord's table, I find myself filled with many questions. For example, should we call this the Lord's Supper, or should we refer to it as communion? Do we refer to this as the memorial meal or the Eucharist? Is this a local church ordinance, or is it an observance in the midst of worship? Is it celebration? That's what we put in the bulletin this week. The celebration, or after a choral anthem, is it a solemn moment? Questions. How often should we do this? Some celebrate, observe communion, Lord's Supper, every week. Others, the first Sunday of each month, or maybe the third Sunday. Growing up, we observed the Lord's Supper on the fifth Sunday only. Or should we observe it just whenever we want to? In the hallway, on any Sunday, at any time throughout the week, on Christmas Eve and during Holy Week? Should this time be a very traditional experience, that when we come in and we see the table set, we know exactly what will happen and how it will happen, and all questions of that are removed? Or is it something that should be more creative, that engages us, that makes us think and not traditional at all? Or do we just tag it on to the end of any service on any Sunday? Questions. Should the Lord's Supper, should you come forward to receive this meal at the altar? Or should there be different stations set around the sanctuary or in the foyer? Should perhaps we take communion by intinction, where we pull bread and dip of the cup and eat of the bread? Or should we, as we will this morning, pass trays serving each other through these trays? Or should we share a common cup, not during COVID? And then the elements, unleavened bread or French loaf from the grocery store, or as a kid growing up, it was those little chiclet-looking pieces of bread from the Baptist Sunday School board. And during COVID, it was just styrofoam. I guess you know that. And this morning, it's bread from Grand Ole Bakery. Questions, which is right and which is wrong? And that's just the bread. What about, why don't we just have wine? Jesus did, or Welch's grape juice at least, and maybe Brookshire's brand or HEB brand, or as I said earlier, if you're at home, a diet Dr. Pepper might do. Is this meal, all these questions, is it for members only? For Baptists only? For members only of that particular local Baptist church, or as we used to hear proclaimed, all of those of like faith and order are invited? Should the deacons serve it, or should the deacons and their spouses serve it, or should the minister serve it, or should anyone serve it, and should the communion be open, or should it be closed? And is this a symbolic meal, or is it a salvific experience, or did we do something very special and make it transubstantial to where the bread is actually the body of Christ and the cup, the blood? More questions. More questions than answers. And perhaps there's not a correct answer to any of the questions that I have proposed, and maybe you're saying, only preacher type even think of asking those type of questions. We just want to celebrate communion. But let me share with you some things I do know from Scripture. You have your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. When Paul reflected on this meal with the church at Corinth, what a church. They had more problems. Everything they did seemed to be just royal mess. They had issues galore, issues and issues, and he writes the letter, and the observance of this most meaningful meal had become nothing more than a gluttonous feast. It was a mess. And Paul wrote these words, 1 Corinthians 11, and I'll begin reading in verse 23. Paul wrote, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink from the cup." Paul said, "Do this." Verses 24 and 25, he said it twice. Do this. Whenever you do this. Oh, he did say whenever. Verse 26, whenever, once a month, once a week, once a quarter, fifth Sunday, whenever you do this, remember. Verse 27, whoever. So then, whoever, Baptist, Methodist, believer, non-believer, whoever, whenever, do this. In the Gospels, it's recorded Jesus is saying, as often as you do this, take and eat and drink. So perhaps the questions that I ask really don't matter. When and where and how. But there's a word that captures my attention. Verse 28. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink the cup. It really doesn't matter what we call this, and it surely doesn't matter how often we take it. I don't think it matters if it's bread or if it's wine. I don't think any of that really matters if we call it an ordinance or a celebration. What matters is that everyone, whomever, whenever, as often as you do, examines himself. Paul was wanting these in Corinth to reflect on their own lives, and in reflecting, to confess their own sins. And after we reflect and after we confess, then we repent of our sin, and then we acknowledge the forgiveness of our sin. Yes, this is a time to reflect, and it's a time to remember. It's a time to remember, the choir just sang, when I survey, when I remember the wondrous cross. This is a time to remember. This do and remember me. And yes, it's a time to rejoice. To rejoice, to be filled with awe indeed. To celebrate, yes, and to worship as we have this morning. So let us do that. Let us, everyone, pause, reflect, remember, and rejoice.